You're listening to the Better in Bavaria podcast, hosted by U.S. Army Garrison Bavaria Public Affairs. We share stories and the people behind them, the soldiers and Army civilians supporting our readiness mission and making our community a great place to work, live, and raise a family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your new favorite podcast, Better in Bavaria. I'm your co-host, Linda A. Reed, with U.S. Army Garrison Bavaria Public Affairs. I'm a lucky American living and working in lovely Germany.
Servus und willkommen. I'm also a public affairs officer. I'm your co-host, Andreas Kreuzer. I'm born and raised in Pfirsich, Bavaria, Germany.
Thank you, listeners and subscribers, for sharing your time with us as we spotlight our garrison and what makes it so very special. Today, we have a leader who does some really vital work for all of us. And he happens to be one of my favorite people because he's so positive and great to work with. You're going to want to stay tuned for this episode.
Yes, we have a great show for you. Today, you'll be receiving critical information about work and careers. Our special guest today, the Director of Human Resource Management, Robert Reed. Servus, Rob. How are you doing today?
Wunderbar. How are you doing?
It's the best day of my life.
It's not raining. That's a good thing.
So let's get to know our leaders. Tell me a little bit about you.
No problem. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Linda, for the nice introduction, the kind words. So I spent 20 years in the Army. I retired from being a soldier out of 2CR a little over a decade ago. I've remained in Germany ever since. I live in the beautiful town of Bamberg, and I've been married to my sassy little German wife for nearly 30 years. And I have a 16-year-old son who goes to German school, and that is why I've chosen, one of the many reasons why I've chosen to remain here after the Army.
Well, thank you again, Robert, for being here. And we'd also like to know, before we get started talking about human resources, why is it better in Bavaria for you?
I would say the quality of life is amazing. Obviously, travel opportunities are great. But what I would say is, my son, the quality of life that he has is just, there's no equal to it in America, you know. And if I could tell a quick story. So when my son started German elementary school, it was in our village. It was about four blocks away. And when he first, so the first day of school, we took, drove him to school or walked him to school, whatever. But then after that, all the kids walked. And so we were the only ones who were concerned, and the other German parents acted like we were crazy, like the thought that something negative could happen to that child, you know. And then starting in fifth grade, my son and all of his classmates started going to schools further away, and they would take the bus or the train. That could be a while, because they're out there working. So these kids, fifth graders, groups of fifth graders, just taking a train or a bus to work. And this is public train, public bus, not school buses like we're familiar with in Germany, or sorry, in the United States. So it's just, you know, that would never fly in America. So just the freedom, the absolute lack of concern of the parents, because it's inconceivable to them that, that something bad could happen, because it's so rare. So just the collective safety within the community here is something that was really one of the big reasons why we chose to stay here after I retired.
Sounds like you're integrated in Germany, and this is how it is here. I mean, I'm born and raised here, and this is how it is, you know. Before first grade, your parents tell you, hey, here's your bicycle, go to school.
All right, no, get out. Every kid here also rides a bike. So I don't want to get like to too many stories. But so when I went home to Stockton, California, most recently, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was explaining to him how kids will be gone for 4 or 5 hours riding their bikes, just having a good time. Kind of similar to how it was in the 70s and 80s when I was a kid. But my friend was like, if he blindfolded his child in America, took him one block away, they wouldn't even know how to get home, because they don't explore anymore. And so it's just a completely different culture. Like, we had a kid in the church group here on base who was on a bicycle at 15 for the first time. Didn't even know how to brake, because the last time they had ever ridden a bike was with the little pedal brakes that you just push back. So the 15-year-old kid had no idea that there was handbrakes.
Wow.
Just craziness, you know. But in Germany, it's just part of the regular culture, you know.
Yeah, that's how it is. And, I mean, it's a new generation. But that's a great story. And I'm looking forward to hear more of your stories in Germany.
Thank you. Although I don't know if my wife will be happy to listen to this afterwards and hear all these stories. Thank you for inviting me here today. I know specifically I was asked to speak about hiring, but so I will talk about that. But there's also a couple other things as it relates to the Director of Human Resources here within the Garrison that I'll hopefully discuss later as well.
This is going to be a powerful show because it's information we can all really use. Thank you, Robert.
So I keep hearing our workforce gets older and older. Can you tell us about this?
So this is a problem that's almost specific to our local national workforce, but it is true. We have over a third of our workforce will hit mandatory retirement age in the next decade.
What do you think is the solution to it?
Well, we need to bring in as much new talent from off-post as possible, which is one of the difficulties that we run into. So hopefully we can give a little bit of insight today on how somebody off-base who's interested in being a member of the USAG Bavaria team could can join us.
So Robert, what are the main topics you're going to coach us on today?
I'll talk briefly about the hiring process, but then also, like I said, I really want to get the word out on how folks could probably use the ICE system better to their advantage in terms of getting the help that they're seeking through the services offered within my directorate. And then also just explain a couple of things which are recurring ICE themes that we see as management.
So, Robert, if you want to work for USAG Bavaria, what's the best way to start?
Well, the first step for anybody is to go to the appropriate website, right? So for anybody who is trying to get a job as a Department of the Army civilian or a civilian through as a non-appropriated fund employee, USA Jobs is the single portal for that. And then for local nationals, it is the Multinational Recruitment System website, or known as MNRS. So that's where all positions are posted. So nobody should be applying anywhere else or using any other system to find employment other than those systems, unless you're interested in the apprenticeship program.
So Robert, I'm getting the feeling that there's going to be a lot of folks out there taking notes because it does seem kind of a mysterious way to get in, and I'm glad that you're here to unravel the process.
Well, thank you, Linda. So my organization, we have DACs, DA civilians, not NAF employees, and then we have soldiers and local national employees. So if you are interested, if you're an American and you're trying to get a DA civilian job, then first step, go to USA Jobs. Do something as simple as, you know, type in Graffenveer in the search bar, or you can do VilSec because jobs for both locations will show up. And then that is your first step. Identify the positions that are there that are currently open within the community, and you'll find both DAC and NAF positions there. And then once you've identified what it is you're interested in, then you obviously need to build a profile within there, and then that is how you will apply, is through that portal. So the probably most critical document that you need in that process is a resume, okay? If you are a soldier who is transitioning, then you need to take full advantage of the TAP program, Transition Assistance Program. It is mandatory for every soldier to participate in it, but you would be surprised at how hard the Army, not just within Bavaria, but how hard it is to get soldiers to A, participate, B, participate on time, right? All statistics show that soldiers that start the TAP process earlier have, you know, far superior outcomes to those who start the process later, right? And it's not just, I mean, this is my plug because the program also falls under my directorate. So, you know, it's not just the help with the resumes. And I'm sorry if there's some feedback. We got some folks doing, you know, yard work in the background, which the Garrison appreciates.
So, Robert, tell us about the first steps that people need to take when they're looking for employment.
So the first step is to simply go to the right website. There are no substitutes for the two websites you need to go to. So if you're looking for a DAC, what most folks refer to as a GS or GG position, then you want to go to USA Jobs. If you're looking for a NAF position, which stands for non-appropriated funds, which is predominantly your folks at DFMWR, that is also on USA Jobs. And if you are a local national and you're wanting to work for our fine organization, then you want to go to the brand new Multinational Recruitment System, or MNRS, website. That's where it all starts. So what we refer to as local nationals are Germans, predominantly, that off-post, that work in support of the Garrison. And like over 70% of our workforce is actually local national. But it's not exclusively German. We do have folks. I've got you know, a wonderful lady who's Albanian who works in my post office on Rose Barracks. I've got a lovely lady who's Romanian who works in my post office in Tower Barracks. We have a gentleman who's from the UK who is one of our key planners here for the garrison. So it's a pretty diverse workforce. But if you're basically not a U.S. citizen, that is really who should be applying at the MNRS website.
So, Rob, for our listeners, a DAC is?
DAC is a Department of the Army Civilian. Those are your GS and GG positions within the garrison.
So, Robert, you're living in Germany for many years now, and you're the Director of Human Resource, so you're probably the best person to talk about this. What are the benefits to work here in Germany or in Europe?
Well, I would say specific to USAG Bavaria is that, you know, you're supporting a real world mission every day, right? So you're supporting the warfighter and the folks who love the warfighter dearly, you know, by providing them all of the essential services they need so that way they can focus on really fighting and winning our nation's wars, which is the role of the Army. So the satisfaction you get from that, knowing that you were contributing and playing a role, you know. So, I mean, somebody like myself, I'm a retiree. I'm not out there in the fight anymore, but, you know, I'm still able to help, you know, our nation and help with the security of Europe, especially in these times with everything going on in the world right now. You know, I'm still able to contribute, and I think that's key.
So I know you're from Bamberg, which is quite a commute every day. So what is the best thing about Bamberg? What is Bamberg famous about?
So all of downtown Bamberg is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, so it's gorgeous. But it's world famous for its beers. So I can tell you that in the county of Bamberg, there are 100 breweries. And there were more, but you actually have, you know, their family breweries, the kids move away, so sometimes they don't want to come back. So that forces these breweries to close. But the beer culture is amazing. It's the, you know, the gastronomie, right, is what we say in German. So what would you say gastronomie as in English? It's kind of, I guess, the food culture, you know, just it's wonderful.
Die Gemütlichkeit.
Yeah, genau, yeah.
The cuisine, maybe?
Thank you. Yeah, that's why we're here. Martha Stewart in the house. Yeah. So, yeah, the cuisine is excellent.
It's good.
It's a university town, you know, it's just got a really good vibe. It's a good place.
We're so lucky to live and work here in Europe. So how does the U.S. government help folks that want to come over here and work?
I think that we have a very good sponsorship program. You know, you get integrated into the team pretty quickly. Everybody really is helpful. From the moment you show up, folks, make sure that you have a place to stay upon arrival. You know, you're kind of ushered to all the places you need to go to get your family settled. So if you've got kids, getting them registered for school is super easy. Getting your cell phone plan signed up or whatever it is that you're interested in, you know, you're given time to do that, and you're able to really establish everything you need to establish stress-free without folks, you know, telling you, or without the feeling that, oh my goodness, I have to hurry up and start contributing from day one. You know, it's, hey, get settled, get your family settled, get comfortable, and we know that you're here for at least 3 years as a civilian, and if you're a GS employee. And so we know we'll get enough work out of you in this fast-paced environment that, you know, you don't have to rush it. Because if you establish a good base up front, you'll be okay.
Can you tell us the way, the other way? Like, I know a lot of Americans, they want to stay here. So what about rules and regulations? And if someone, let's say, wants to stay here in Germany, what can they do? Or what's the best way?
So it is, everybody's situation is different, right? It can be a little bit wonky, but so in general, if you are an employee for a NAF organization, right? So if you're in NAF status, if you're an AFES employee, then you can stay essentially as long as your job exists, right? There is no requirement to leave your job. Obviously, LNs are from here, they stick around, and they kind of serve as the continuity for our workforce. If you are a DAC, a GS or GG employee, you are here on a three-year tour just like soldiers are, right? So you can be extended in two-year increments, but depending on the organization you work for, it can be sort of problematic to get that extension just because it depends on where your chain of command resides, right? So if you work for the garrison, you're an MCOM employee. So, you know, our next higher headquarters is in Wiesbaden, and then beyond that, it's in San Antonio, right? And then beyond that, MCOM falls under AMC. So if you're requesting an extension, there's just a lot of different gates it has to go through, which can be time consuming. And it's just not straightforward. It's not as simple as, hey, you're doing a great job, Robert. You know, we'd love to keep you around here. So we're just going to extend you. It's not that simple. So, you know, in the end, it's designed to be kind of developmental positions. There was a big push several years ago to make sure they were enforcing, you know, these tour lengths, which for a lot of folks is known as the five-year rule, because usually the 3 to 5 extension is not problematic, but beyond that becomes difficult, especially, you know, if you work for an organization like we do, where that approval authority resides with a 3-star general in San Antonio, right? So part of that was to give spouses more opportunities here, but that hasn't actually necessarily proven to benefit the spouses in the European theater.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, USAC Bavaria Human Resource Director, Robert Reed.
Like what you're hearing? Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, like, and share our episodes of Better in Bavaria. Visit our USAG Bavaria social media to learn more. And remember, it's Better in Bavaria.
Welcome back. I'm Andreas Kreuzer. I'm joined by my co-host, Linda A. Reed, and our guest, Robert Reed, HR Director for USAC Bavaria.
So, Robert, we have different last names, but you spell yours incorrectly. I just want to straighten that out for all of our listeners. Right?
You're correct. I'm R-E-E-D, and my friend Linda is R-E-A-D.
Okay, so let's jump back into getting a job here, because it's a great place to live and work. So what are the most common mistakes that you and your staff see with applications and resumes? What are some things that people need to avoid, and what should they really reinforce?
So the most important document is your resume, okay? I highly recommend that everybody includes a cover letter, right? That is just, I would never apply without one. And your cover letter should not be in paragraph format. It should be bulletized, because what you want to do at the end of the day is make the referral decision as simple as possible for the person who's making that referral decision, right? Which is our local CPAC, which is not an organization that falls underneath me. So I will tell you right now, within the MPD, which is Military Personnel Division, which falls under my directorate, we have 7 vacancies, right? We just got a referral list, and almost every resume, to be honest, is kind of embarrassing. People can't even spell, right? So when I can't hire you to write a soldier's PCS orders if you can't even spell correctly in your own resume, right? So there are resources available in this community. If you're a transitioning soldier, then you want to take full advantage of the TAP program. If you are a spouse in the community, then you want to take full advantage of our employment readiness specialist within ACS. They will help get you right, all right? There's a long misconception that you have to have the right keywords in your resume. None of that is true, right? There's not a computer system that is screening it. When you apply for a job, we'll just say USA Jobs, for example, you answer the questionnaire at first. That determines your initial scoring, right? And then if your scoring is sufficient, when you are screened by the HR specialist from CPAC, what the HR specialist at CPAC is going to look at is, does the information in your resume correspond with what you entered on that questionnaire, okay? And so it is key that you have that same information, however you rate yourself on that questionnaire as you apply online, needs to be present in your resume, okay? If you go on to USA Jobs, it literally gives you the answers to the tests, all right? Under the How to Apply section, there is always a questionnaire. You click View Questionnaire, and there present are all of the questions that you are going to be asked when you apply online. So before you apply, you want to make sure that your resume addresses those things, right? That's basic. And then my recommendation to you is not to have a 15-page resume like we often see in USA Jobs or when applicants are referred to us. Just a few pages that gives strictly the information or the experience that is relevant to the job opening that you're applying for. If it's not tailored for that specific job opening, you're probably wasting your time. And again, if you look at what the requirements are in that questionnaire, have a cover letter to augment your resume, but that cover letter in 4 or 5 bullets quickly specifies how you are qualified, I guarantee you that you will, you know, be moved on by that HR specialist to the referred pile. For local nationals, we run into the same problem, right? The most recent HR specialist that we hired in the MPD, local national, we had 12 applicants that were referred to us, but only one mentioned any military HR experience. So it was kind of a no-brainer. We did an interview just to validate that what was in the resume and that we thought he would be a good organizational fit. Interview went great. We hired the young gentleman. He's been a great member of the team ever since. But it was easy to disqualify everybody else because their resumes lacked any relevant information. So really, you got to take time and effort to make sure that that document represents you, represents who you are, and positions you as the best candidate that you can possibly be. Really, I'll talk experience here real quick if I can. So for spouses, a large majority of their experience comes from the volunteer world. And it's important that they don't downplay that, right? This community, every military community, volunteer work is vital to the success of these communities and a lot of the functions that we provide as a garrison. The majority of it is through volunteer labor, so it's invaluable. So there's a ton of experience that our spouses have that they're not good about really communicating in their resume. So please make use of the folks at ACS to get that in there. And then for soldiers tend to discount what their real skills are, right? So I'll just use a cook as an example, right? A cook may think, hey, on my resume, I can only put that I made food, that I flipped omelets or whatever. And when I get out, that's what I'm qualified for, is being a cook. I would argue that a cook is an expert at supply chain management, right? Because the DFAT cannot run out of rations, right? And then they're also experts at quality control, because you can't have, you know, the work area be nasty or unhealthy, because then that affects the force. Folks will get sick. So those are the real skills that you have, right? I was a combat engineer in the Army. I was not an HR guy, right? Now here I am, the head HR guy for the garrison, all because I did a ton of personnel management in the military, and that is what I used to break into, that experience I used to break into the DA civilian world, and then from there was off and running. But it's, don't limit yourself by what your primary occupational specialty is. Think broadly. Everybody's good at stuff, right? If you're an NCO, I promise you, you're good at personnel management, you're good at maintenance management, supply management, all that stuff. And so you need to think more broadly and cast a very broad and wide net when you're applying for positions.
Well, Robert, that's really good stuff. I'd like to unpack a couple of things that you said. First is about the spelling. I mean, folks know if they can spell well or not. So that is really powerful to say you could be eliminated because of misspelled words. Run it through spell check. Have someone else look at it, another set of eyes. That's what we do in public affairs all the time. The other thing is when you talked about volunteerism. So if I can share a story, I was a young military spouse, young mama, going to graduate school and volunteering for the American Red Cross. When we got our next orders and I was ready to go back into the workforce, I remember at the interview someone saying, you were in charge of 200 volunteers. If you could get people to come to work that weren't paid and were motivated to come, you'd be great at this job. So volunteering is a great place for spouses to have, you know, in that gap when you maybe want to stay home, maybe you're doing school, maybe you don't have enough time to get a job before the next order. So I think volunteering is very powerful. And it's nice on USA Jobs that volunteering counts the same as paid employment, right?
Absolutely. So my recommendation, right, is that at the end of the day, if you're applying for a job on USA Jobs, and people tend to discount themselves by saying they don't have the sufficient experience or whatever. So if you're given the choice, how do you qualify for this position? Either through education or experience, always select experience, right? Because that trumps unofficially, right? But I'm telling you that that will always work, right? Experience is where it's at. And then with the experience, especially spouses, they discount all their volunteer work. And that's a huge mistake that they make.
And the last thing about resumes, because, you know, friends have each other look over their resumes, they say they just take their position description and they put that as their experience, responsible for, not any actions that they did. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. And so simply saying, copying and pasting what your position description is, does not convey to me. First of all, it's probably a lot of words that just say this is what your job was, but not how you performed within there, or not doesn't show what your impact was. And so those are the things that you need to focus on, you know, when you're developing your resume. And I can't harp on enough. I will tell you, I tend to look at resumes for positions that are higher graded, right? But if I've got 35, you know, folks referred to me for a position, I can't invest a lot of time in those resumes. So if I immediately see an error, I instantly discount you, right? You will not be considered by me at all. If you can't even spell, you know, your address right, right? If you can't even spell, if there's an immediate error, I instantly discount you and you don't go any further because you didn't take the process serious. So how can you expect me to take you seriously?
So, Rob, what are some things, as we're winding down, that you would like us to know about the Human Resources Director?
Thank you, Linda. There are several different organizations that fall under the DHR. The Ed Centers, ASAP, MPD, Postal, just to name some. So we have a very broad service requirement within this community. And so if you're coming to us for some help, maybe you're asking the wrong organization, but I guarantee you we know who can help you, right? So we kind of have a no closed door policy, right? If you come to me and I'm not the guy who can help you, I'm going to get you to the person who can, or at least get you going in that right direction. And so an area where we run into issues is with ICE comments, okay? So I see every ICE comment that comes in on a DHR organization, right? And routinely, people do not provide any contact information. So almost always, we can solve the problem they have, or we can explain to them why something is the way it is if they would just provide contact information. So even if you are attacking the workforce, right, and you're angry, you're frustrated, you're lashing out, still please provide contact info so the management can reach out to you to solve your problem, right? So you don't have to just go on being frustrated and think that your problem is not solvable.
So I would have never thought that the post office would fall under human resources, but your staff is so wonderful over there. They must have so many challenges being over here in Europe with getting mail out and getting mail in.
So absolutely. I can tell you the holiday season is crazy, you know. But really, COVID changed everything for us there. So it used to be that during the holiday season, the number of packages that they had to process was just astronomical. And then when COVID happened, the post offices never closed. But folks stopped going to stores and stopped being able to shop in person. So basically, it turned every day into the holiday season because everybody just started ordering everything online. And a lot of those shopping habits have remained the same. So the post office is consistently overwhelmed with mail, and they do a wonderful job. I can tell you far and away the most ICE comments that I receive is for my post offices, and almost all are extremely positive, which I think is great. And I appreciate the community taking the time to recognize good customer service.
I appreciate you talking about ICE comments. And those are the evaluations that people can do online. But I really like when you said that, put your name on there. Let us help solve your problem. It's good to complain, But if you have a problem you want it solved, and putting that on there is not going to come back to you in a negative way. It's a way for you, right, to reach out to them and try to help them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't matter what you write on there. You know, if you provide contact information, we will come back to you and we will figure out how to solve your problem.
So this has been really informative. I enjoyed learning more about your staff, Robert. Do you have any parting tips that you think we need to know?
I'll just, you know, re-hit some of the themes, right? So your resume, make sure it properly conveys how you're qualified. Don't make it overly long. Include a cover letter to make that process even simpler for the person who is making the referral decision. If you are, obviously, have every person you know proofread it to make sure that just even small errors are no longer present. Make sure it's tailored for the jobs that you're applying for. Within the ICE system, please make sure that you provide contact info and, you know, just be patient. Everybody who's a member of the DHR team is a member of this community, right? So it's spouses that are the, you know, spouses of soldiers. It is veterans, right? All the majority, all the folks who aren't local nationals and aren't spouses are former service members, you know, and even some of the spouses are also former service members. So, you know, we're of the community, and so just realize that everybody comes to work every day looking for ways to help you out, you know. So if things aren't going your way, just be patient, you know, and then just ask for help, and they'll get you pointed in the direction that you need.
So, Robert, I know I keep saying that we're wrapping up, but I have so many questions for you. So let me ask you another one. How about those of us who are already in the system? What are some of the things that you see that have helped people move up? Is it training? Is it taking on collateral duties?
Well, so the most important thing is come to work every day and do what you're supposed to do, right? If you focus on the task at hand and doing your job as well as you can, that will cast you in a positive light. If you are the reliable member within your team, you know, then folks will think positively about you, and they'll thank you when it's time, when a vacancy above you opens up, right? Within the Department of Army Civilian System, we have the civilian education system, foundation course, basic course, intermediate course. Doing those things, obviously, are highly recommended and critical to helping you advance. So what I think a lot of people, so here's a little, you know, behind the scenes stuff. So what a lot of people, I think, don't know is that when you, when a hiring decision is being made, really the first step is you have a matrix, right? And so, so I'll tell you, insight into mine. I screen, obvious errors, you're done, right? No obvious errors, now you're going into my matrix, right? And so where we score everything, experience, education level, civilian education as it pertains to, you know, like career schooling, right? So, you know, maybe you don't need to have those CES courses to get a promotion, but I promise you that, you know, the person who does have them is scoring higher than you on that matrix, right? So it's in your best interest to do that. And besides, it really helps. It's you get exposed to a lot of folks doing a lot of different things when you go to a CES course, and it really broadens your network of folks. So when you do have an issue in the future, you know, you got other folks with different skill sets that you can reach out to who can really kind of help you solve those problems, which I think is invaluable.
Thank you, Robert. That was very helpful.
Thanks, Andreas. Okay, here's what our listeners also really want to know. What is the most interesting and enjoyable part of being the HR director of this garrison for you?
Wonderful, diverse workforce. Like I said, you know, I've got soldiers, American civilians, and local nationals. And, you know, those local nationals, again, are from not just Germany, but other folks. Ethnically diverse. You know, it's just wonderful. I tell you, watching people go out of their way to help folks solve problems that they're having, and you know, just it's heartwarming, it's touching. You know, I am resigning soon, and you know, I will miss that interaction with customers, helping soldiers on a day-to-day basis, and with my team, Because, I mean, I can tell you, you know, without naming people individually, but I've got one employee who used to oversee the early return dependents process, and she routinely made phone calls to the states to call spouses to try to help them get stuff approved or command sponsorship. You know, the family travel decision does not lie with us. That lies with the family travel office, which has historically been in Simbach. But still, my employee, she would routinely reach out to these folks to coach them through the process, to obtain a document that might be missing from a packet, to try to help reunite these families. And just, you know, it's care. It's heartwarming. And, you know, I guess that's the thing is I will miss, you know, just seeing the good people that do good things every day for this fine garrison.
So, Robert, almost everyone knows you. You're kind of most famous person here in the garrison. And so what's your plan after your career here?
I am going to go live in Bamberg. And I have a little stretch of forest. And so my plan is to walk to the forest every day. And, you know, for the first time in my life, focus on me and my own health. You know, tend to my forest, tend to some bees, and just try to be one with nature. We'll see. I'll give it a try.
That's great. Robert, these are all good points, and HR is a big part in our garrison. So can you tell us what ASAP is?
ASAP stands for Army Substance Abuse Program. So all of our garrison's substance abuse and prevention efforts fall under that umbrella, as do the soldier urinalysis. We have civilian urinalysis is also a thing. There are, you know, testing designated positions. But yeah, so the suicide prevention efforts what a lot of folks know is the, you know, CR2C, the Community Ready and Resilient Council. You know, technically it's owned by 7th ATC, but we've long had a very key role in that. We oversee the installation prevention teams, which are, you know, designed at getting after the issues that are raised in the CRTC. You know, if we have a problem in the community, how are we going to, what are the things we're going to do to develop to try to get at that problem? So that's all things that fall under ASAP.
Thank you, Robert. I'm glad you're enjoying Bavaria.
Dankeschön.
And thank you, Robert. That sounds like a very German lifestyle that you're taking on there.
We'll see. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a try.
Hanging out with the bees.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you again for being here today, and I know our PAO team really appreciates your support in keeping us running so successfully. Your team are superstars.
Thank you, Robert, for joining our podcast today. We all appreciate you and your team for keeping our staff so supported.
What's that sound?
That music means it's time to learn a new German word or phrase. Our word of the day is Rentner. It means retiree. Are you ready to try?
Yes.
Rentner.
For more Better in Bavaria podcasts, subscribe, like, and share our episodes. Visit our U.S. Army Garrison Bavaria social media or website to learn more.